So this morning, because it's Father's Day, I thought I might be able to get away with a few dad jokes, but, you know, I just wasn't sure. I began to ponder some different things. And, you know, things like, why is six afraid of seven? You know that one, right? Because seven, eight, nine, right? Seven, eight, nine. Why was five afraid of seven? Do you know? No, I'm sorry. Why was afraid? I got to tell it right if I'm going to tell a bad joke. Why is five afraid of six? Because, no. Why is five afraid of seven? Because six, seven, eight. It works better if, you know, you kind of do it with like a Yoda voice because of the sentence structure. Hmm? Six, seven, eight. Well, never mind.
What's the next one?
That's about it. I'm going to stop right there. The only one here who's a professional comedian already walked out for a moment. I don't. But he had that don't try this at home look on his face. Far be it from me to start a sermon in such a way with a dad joke. Anyhow, better to start poorly and finish well, that's the point, than to start well and finish poorly. And that's where we're going this morning. We're going to take a look at Solomon again. Dennis did last Sunday. I'm grateful for that. You hear a lot about Solomon's wisdom. But mark this. For all of his wisdom, Solomon did not finish well. Israel was split into two kingdoms after his reign, and both of them walked away from God. And if the truth be told, so did Solomon. If only he had followed his own advice. You know, that was one of the most challenging things as a preacher and a dad, right? Following my own advice when my kids would hear it on a Sunday. Always the challenge, right? Practice what you preach. So let's go there, out of our reading, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 13. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. These are some of the most salient signal words in all of Scripture, and it shows you the extent of inspiration of the Spirit of God in Solomon when he started out. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. And behind all of this is the understanding that we looked at last week through with Dennis, and that is that the fear of the Lord, reverence for God, love for God, is the beginning of wisdom. Everything starts there. Solomon gives us such wise advice, again, inspired by the Spirit. And keep in mind, Solomon had prayed for wisdom, asked God for wisdom to govern, and God blessed him because of it. But somewhere along the line, something happens. And Solomon becomes the victim of his own success. How often do we see that? He forgot where his wisdom came from. Look at verses 5 and 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. That very thing is about declaring our dependence on God every moment for everything. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Verse 7, fear the Lord, shun evil, sound advice if ever there was. But again, he did not practice what he preached. Somewhere along the line, he fell off. And that scares me. Because if someone as wise as Solomon could mess up as badly as he did, where does that leave the rest of us? How did Solomon mess up? You want chapter and verse? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 and following. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 and following. Here it goes. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations from which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after other gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely. As David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's commands. Now, this isn't just one God being in competition with other gods. This is the one true God trying to keep his people from the assault of the demonic. You have to understand that when Israel came into that region, you know, sometimes you read the historical accounts, as we're doing in reading through, you know, the scripture in a period of years, as we're doing together, you see some of these battles and you think, how could God allow that? What, you know, what's going on with you know, this constant warfare or wiping out, you know, this group or even animals? And I, the only thing that makes sense to me in that context is that there is a spiritual warfare component in this that we're sometimes missing. Think about the bay. Think about the pigs that ran over the the cliff, right? After Jesus had cast out a legion of demons from a man. Don't think that this isn't real. Missionaries encounter this all of the time. I have some dear friends who are, one of my best friends in our presbytery is actually in Africa right now. He teaches other pastors, and the extent to which they encounter the demonic is significant. But one of the strategies in our society is keep it on the down low. Oh, sure, make it so sensationalistic with movies like The Exorcist that you think, oh, well, that may or may not be real. When in actuality, it's very real. Very real. For example, listen to this. Who was Ashtoreth? Ashtoreth was a fertility goddess. Temple prostitution was part of her worship. Poles put up for Ashtoreth worship were phallic symbols. What about the worship of Moloch, also known as Moloch? Anyone know? Anyone know what that entailed in some instances? Worship of Moloch? Child sacrifice. Child sacrifice. Moloch, again, was another fertility god. Chemosh? He was a war god. Sometimes his worship involved human sacrifice. It caused the king of Moab to sacrifice his own son on the city walls to turn the course of a battle. You can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 27. Solomon let that in. Ashtoreth, Moloch, Chemosh, countless other religions. He did not trust in the Lord with all his heart. He did not submit to him in all his ways. He did not fear the Lord and shun evil. And the truth has to be told. If we tell the truth about Solomon and all the, you know, wisdom he had, we should also look at him with a word of caution, because his wisdom led him astray. God's wisdom never would. More on this. Solomon got too comfortable. Remember those words from 1 Kings 11:4. As Solomon grew old, he got distracted, in other words. And again, these weren't gods at all. He had to have known that. But he didn't. He missed it. He missed it because his heart wasn't where it needed to be with the Lord his God. How could he let that in otherwise? How could someone so wise go so wrong? His is a tragic tale, a byword, honestly. Solomon scares me for these reasons, but we can learn from him. And that's why I gave the sermon the title, Fathers Who Finish Well. And what we can learn applies to all of us, dad or not. Three quick takeaways. Negatives that we can turn into positives. Here's the first. Solomon forgot to worship. He didn't have a heart for worship the way his father David had. David wanted to build the temple. He set Solomon up to build it. But sometimes kids don't appreciate everything they get from their parents. If Solomon had worshiped the one true living God, his heart would not have been drawn away. He would have had the discernment that he needed to see, I'm not going to go that road. I'm not going to let that in. So if we want to finish well, we must take the time to give our hearts to God, to seek His face and not just His hand, to seek His presence. Because that is the greatest blessing of all, to know Him, to love Him, to encounter His love. There's nothing more beautiful. It is the very reason that you and I were created. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. There is a presence in this that we see every time we sing a hymn like Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Takeaway two. Solomon let his appetites drag him down. Careful. Because he wasn't wanting letting the one true God to fill his heart, he rushed to fill the void with sex and power and money. So many men today struggle with pornography or online gambling or just building their own little kingdoms. Solomon, in his own way, went down that road of the heart. He was extremely self-indulgent. And by the way, his taxation was a heavy burden on the people. He taxed them so that he could live the lavish lifestyle he had. So we have to keep our focus. We have to keep our focus. And remember that in Jesus we have, as 2 Peter 1:3 puts it, everything we need for life and godliness. I remember when I was in college, I'll never forget the comment a friend of mine who was a little bit older made. You know, it's college and people are doing what people do in college. And I was at this Bible study and this, you know, older, wise couple in their early 20s is leading us, or maybe late 20s. And she made the comment, "I don't need to get drunk. I have Jesus." And I love that because, again, it brings you to the point of, okay, ultimately, where's my truth? Where's the deepest satisfaction of my soul? We need to let Him in. We need to let Him fill our souls, right? If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. If anyone believes in me, Jesus says, out of them will flow rivers of living water. It's a promise. And it's a blessing. It's the beauty of His truth and His presence as His Spirit inhabits His people, as He makes His home in us. Takeaway number three. Solomon failed to lead by example. He didn't lead those he loved into a closer relationship with God. He was supposed to do that. Yes, he wrote the Proverbs for them. The Proverbs were primarily written as wisdom literature for young men in the kingdom. And they are uniquely inspired by the Spirit, but Solomon did not follow through with them in practical ways in everyday life. And as another scripture puts it, if I speak in the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I am a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. Men are created to lead, but to do so humbly under God. And with Solomon, you see someone who is taking credit for his own accomplishments. That's the way his life works out. You don't see the fasting and the prayer and the wholehearted worship and dependence of a nation that David led Israel into, right? David dancing before the Lord as the ark is brought back to Jerusalem. David calling the nation to fast and pray for God's mercy. David himself fasting. Isn't it true? It's so much easier to talk a good game than it is to live one. So guys, we've got to follow through. Be intentional. Remember, God appeared to Solomon twice. Think about that. Twice. God appears to him. He could have had anything he wanted. If God had blessed him once, he would bless him again. If that's where his heart was. But Solomon still walked away, and generations suffered. And the nation was never the same. And if we want to finish well, as David did, even with his many mistakes, we have to let God into everything, to live under him, to serve him, and to lead by serving others. We have to pray. We have to declare our dependence and then listen for God's leading and follow it. We may not be wiser than Solomon, but if we have the work of the Spirit of God within us, Jesus at home in our hearts, that's everything. That's it. Everything you need for life and godliness. So I'd finish by just asking, Dad, is that you? If it isn't, then why not let today be the day? God brought you here to hear these words, to take them to heart. What if we just look to him because of his kindness and his cross and the strength that he offers? And if we do that humbly, we will go the distance. We will finish well, as we saw Jim just do. Because, Philippians 4, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So Hebrews 11, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, meaning he reigns. He is in power, and he will go the distance for us. May we pray. Jesus, thank you. We praise you that you have conquered sin and death, that you offer us yourself, your spirit, your beauty, your peace, to be at work even within us. So, Lord, we pray that you will help us just to lean into you, just to love you, just to know you, to receive what you did for us in the cross in exchange for our sinful selves and our self-will, to receive you, which is so much better than living for ourselves. Oh, give us grace to do this, Lord, that we may be caught up in you, caught up in your love, caught up in the life that you alone can give. Thank you, Lord, for opening the way to us, the truth to us, the life to us, through your perfect love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This is my Father's word, and to my
know this, Dad, you may look at your life and maybe look at some things where, some areas where you made some mistakes. Look at some things where you could have, you know, you wish you had seen them differently at the time. Hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it? But the beautiful thing is that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. And through his Spirit, Scripture says we can cry out, Abba, Father. We can find grace and strength to help us in our time of need. And so we are blessed just to be his. Life is imperfect. But as that great sage Yogi Berra said, it ain't over till it's over. And you might add, it ain't over then. So praise God for a Father who loves us, who is good, who loves us more than life, who walks with us through it, and will get us through every step of the way. And eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But the New Testament adds this through the Apostle Paul. God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. So Holy Spirit, fill us afresh to know you more, to walk with you more closely, to be yours, to follow you in love, that we may lead, that we may serve, that others may be blessed. In the strong name of our Savior, Jesus, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. Go in peace. Hope you'll stick around for a good coffee hour or two.
Yes. Wow. church. We're so blessed. I've been in big churches where the music
goes.
So thank you. Appreciate it.
You guys play the piano today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe I'll see you at Costco again. Maybe I'll see you at Costco again. I feel like you never know. I know. I saw Craig in there too, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Craig Shaw was in there. James. Well, if I ever find someone from the church, I think I just moved into somebody. Have a good day.
Just Jared next week. I'll be in Charlotte for a concert.
Ooh, what concert?
Alex Warren. He sings The Ordinary. Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. I have a blast.
Thank you.
Well, relaxing time.
Yes. Yeah. We're almost done though. We'll see like a couple more weeks.
Okay.
And then you get a break before fall.
Yeah, 3 weeks of a break and then back to it in August.
That's so good. Yeah.
Do you have any trips planned? Like,
because you're still doing your...
No, I'm going to Virginia Beach.
Okay.
So it'll just be Friday.
Yeah.
So. But the weather yesterday was actually pretty good. Like, not too hot.
I went on a walk yesterday.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That was what was nice about the parade. It wasn't super hot.
Oh, that's good.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah, right. And we won't be able to do it once.
So
we've been flashed just in case.
Right, if we get ready, we will open it and bring it and lie down there.
So that's why. I never figured out, in fact, I don't know why they don't it's good and strong. Just a bathroom.
Actually, I did that one night.